Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
I'm not really sure this was such a great idea. I mean, I don't feel any better than I did at the hotel.
He was going to do a TV special from here before he died.
Yeah, that's right. A musical version of Somebody Up There Likes Me. Well, since my baby left me, I've found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
Do it with the harmony parts.
Right. Well, since my baby... The same key, though, I think. Well, since my baby left me...
If I'm going... Since my baby
left me.
No,
you can't hit that note.
Since my baby left me.
Well, I found a new place to dwell.
That's all right.
It sounds raga.
You don't
want to
go raga.
No, not
with this, it don't.
It does.
Well, since my baby left me.
It's kind of
fucking
barbershop.
Well, hey.
Barbershop raga.
Watch the language.
It's a new hybrid.
The king.
Oh, sorry. Oh, this is thoroughly depressing.
It really puts perspective on things, though, doesn't it?
Not too much. There's too much fucking perspective now.
Your first drummer was...
The Peeper.
John Stumpy Peeps.
Oh, yeah.
Great, tall, blonde geek with glasses.
Yeah.
Good drummer.
Great look, good drummer,
good drummer.
Fine. What happened to him?
He died. He died in a bizarre gardening accident some years back.
It's really one of those things. It was, you know, the authorities said, you know, best leave it, you know, unsolved, really, you know.
And he was replaced by
Stumpy Joe.
Eric Stumpy Childs.
And what happened to Stumpy Joe?
Well, it's not a very pleasant story, but he died, he choked on The official explanation was he choked on vomit.
It was actually someone else's vomit. It's not
exactly.
You know, there's no real.
Well, they can't prove whose vomit it was. They never. They don't have facilities in Scotland Yard to print
that. You can't really dust for vomit.
Now, during the flower people.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Mono.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Well, that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And fans and friends, thanks for showing up for the Hard Rockin' Sports Show tonight, Thursday, September the 30th, in the year of 2021. We are live tonight, as I said already. We are looking forward to a very good show. It's been a good week. I celebrated my birthday yesterday. So thanks to all the, I'm going to say this with all humbleness, I can say it, the hundreds of people who reached out to me on Facebook, through texts, phone calls, of course, my family, my mom, my dad, my kids, who all showed up here last night. Thanks to my wife for the incredible birthday gift I got. I got myself a little semi-Marshall stack, something I did not need but have always wanted. Don't know what I'm going to do with it since the Hard Rockin' Sports Band seems to be on a full hiatus. Probably maybe never to return again. I'm not sure. But either way, I got a couple of amps that are up for sale now. So if anybody's looking for a guitar amp, let me know. In the meantime, thank you again to everybody, including especially my wife, my children, my father, mother, and all my friends and family. Jeff, who obviously reached out to me, one of the first people, all my friends and families who wish me happy birthday. So again, it's a day after my birthday show. We're going to have some, not a lot to talk about tonight. Yeah, okay. We got Yankees, spit the bed last night, but listen, they won 7 straight before last night's loss. They're in a good spot, but not a great spot. Tough 4 games to finish the season. I'm going to guess they got to at least go 2-2 the rest of the way, but we'll talk about that. A little disappointed in Garrett Cole last night, but we'll talk about that when we kick the show off. That's when we talk about to start the show. We'll talk a little David Lee Roth, Scorpions, Judas Priest. NFL for week 3. We'll talk about the week that just passed, some of the crazy games, where we sit in the standings. We'll talk a lot of football tonight. Let's see what's else. Big game this week, guys. And again, I don't know how great a game it's going to be, but it's a big game. Bucks and the Patriots Sunday night, marquee game. Now, again, I don't know what kind of game it's going to be. I'm curious of a bunch of things. I'm curious to see how the fans will treat Brady. I'm sure before the game, he'll get a standing ovation, a roar. During the game, I'm curious, if they were to cheer from him during the game, that's a big kick in the ass for Bill Belichick, but I don't expect that. I expect them to treat him like any visiting player after that. Will the game bring? I don't know. We'll talk to Jeff about that, even though it's a little bit of the Sunday show. Of course, we're every Sunday morning, 9 to 10:30, or 9 to 11 now with Jeff and John Myhefka and myself. We bring you all the biggest games of the day. But tonight, we got a lot to talk about. I'm sure it will be no hesitation. We're in the fall, folks. You see the weather's getting a little chillier, so I hope you guys dress warm every day. And big weekend coming up of college football, pro football, and everything else in between. So I hope you guys will make sure. Hold on, John. I'm just... okay. Anyway, but I hope you guys will tune in not only tonight but Sunday morning, and we'll bring you all of the big games on Sunday, best bets, and fantasy and all that good stuff. So make sure you come on around here on the Sunday Audible Facebook page every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. So again, let's keep the show up. Let's get Jeff on board. I see him hanging out there, and let's bring in the backbone of the show, the sexiest man on his side of the screen, Mr. Jeff Talwinski. Hefe.
What's up, man?
Jeff, it's all good, man. How was your week?
Good. It was good.
Oh,
it
wow.
It was a great week. It started off great.
Okay.
Very good.
Well, that's the first. It's been it's got to be at least a month, maybe more, since I got that reaction from you. It's terrible.
Well,
it's soft.
You are. You're right. And there's reasons why, selfish reasons why the week started off so good.
Go ahead.
The Giants lost.
I had a feeling that...
The Giants lost. Barkley couldn't fucking run around the corner. Gettleman has put together a plastic team in a steel world. The Jets are losing, and I don't give a fuck. But as long as the Giants lose, I'm happy. I don't care if the Jets never... I'm going on record right now. Write this shit down. I don't care if the Jets never win another game for as long as they exist. As long as the Giants keep losing, I'm happier than a pig in shit.
This is what makes you happy.
This at this point in time, yes, this is what makes me happy. If these guys could possibly go 0-4, this would be 2 awesome weeks in a row. Okay?
Okay.
I choke up thinking about it sometimes.
You do.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just no problem. I get it. I understand it. Listen,
Also happy
go ahead.
Birthday that you got the amp.
Yeah, it was a great gift from my wife.
You know, I'd like to challenge you on this one. I mean, last night some of the texts I got were rather threatening, I felt.
you were threatened?
Unnecessary.
Okay. I don't remember threatening you with anything, but go ahead. Feel free.
You said you knew about this.
Well, that was the day before, as a matter of fact, not last night. But yes, I took offense to the fact that my friend of 40 years knew that I was getting this very special gift and did not say, hey, by the way, when you get home, you're walking into a big gift.
Well, what do you say? What do you say?
That's what you say.
Well, I didn't know, because all she did was I got a text message from somebody.
My wife.
Asking me if I was busy. I didn't say that. I said somebody.
I know the whole story. My wife gave you right up. She gave you right up.
Asking me if I have the text.
Okay.
So if somebody asked me if I was busy.
Uh-huh.
And I said no, and she said, yeah, I'm going to call you, and I'm like, okay. And she was like, what does he want for his birthday? And I was like, I don't know. I says, he doesn't tell me anything.
I don't need anything.
She says, I think I'm going to get this. And I said, well, I says, let's research it. And I did a little research online real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to her, I says, I myself would go to like a store about this. Really wouldn't be asking me too much about this, but... And then she was supposed to get back to me and tell me what was going on, and never did.
Yeah, well, then at that point, my stepson, Gary, happened to, by out of the blue, show up to return her car. She's had her car for about a week.
She told me that. And she told me that Gary was going to be there, and I was like, that's perfect. This is, that's probably a better person to talk to about this.
Well, they went to this day while I'm going to the Guitar Center up the lock, which, by the way, I have not been in a while, but she told me has next to nothing. In the store.
Really?
Yeah, she said it was, you know, like, I don't know if you've been, how many Guitar Centers you've been, the one in Jersey, most of them I've ever been to, usually have hanging very high on the wall, especially behind the cash register, very, very expensive guitars, $30,000, yeah. $50,000. She said they're all gone. She said there's none of them up there. She said a lot of the basses that they had up, because Gary played, was grabbing the basses, a lot of them that were hanging were warped.
Warped.
Well, hanging down, they were too long. Well,
that's probably just a setup. That's,
yeah, it's possible. But again, she said there wasn't a lot of stock in the thing. She said they're either going out of business or they're more toward the rental. She said the rental place seemed to be much more, and Aaron Judge has hit an absolute bomb to center field. Yankees up 1-0. We'll get to the Yankees in a minute. Again, it's not something I definitely didn't need. I don't need three amps. I now have three amps and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guitars.
It's all right.
For a guy who's probably never, ever going to play out ever again.
But we're going to.
Nah, I don't know about that. We'll see. But that's a whole different
story. Simply because you got this stuff. So we got one more to do.
I don't know. We'll see.
And we can close it up.
We can close it up after that. We'll see. Like I said, I'm debating whether to bring this to the big Christmas jam in Rosebank this year. I might bring if we play downstairs, I will bring the amp with me. If we play upstairs, there's no amp toting this thing around, so that's we'll play with John's stuff upstairs.
I would strongly suggest to bring it with you. You can bring the head.
Just... That's true. I can just bring the head up and plug into that. So that may be something I do. We'll see. But it was a good birthday. I thank again. I say this all as humbly as I possibly can. I do. I say this as humbly as I possibly can. I got hundreds of well wishes on Facebook, text, whatever. And I couldn't thank everybody more for the well wishes for my birthday. And it's humbling to know that there's so many people who took a minute. Give me a second, guys. I got to fix the plug on my computer. Stop.
Uh-oh.
Okay, now we're back. Okay, here we go. Now we're good to go. All right, guys, so we got plenty to talk about. I'm going to kick it off with some Yankee talk, because I'm going to get my dad right on. What the hell? I have no idea. Oh, you brought your notes? Is that what you're saying? Brought your notes?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to do Yankees first, then we'll get into a little bit of we'll do the Jets and the Giants for this past weekend, which is not much to talk about either way. And then we'll go around the league. I got some music talk, We'll get all of that in there before we close the show later on. So
is John coming on tonight?
John is not coming. He just literally sent me a message as you and I were talking. RFL has a big announcement for a new band out of Tennessee. So he's going to be busy doing that announcement tonight, so he will not be able to make it on with us.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to go ahead with that breakdown without John.
I don't want to wait any longer than I have to, man. I'm okay. Salivating as it is.
Yes, I feared you would be. So we'll do that.
I don't have a cup here, so I get to.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I appreciate it. What's up, Len? Our Rosebank cousin, Mr. Leonard Torricelli. So Len, nice to see you. And thank you, Len.
You see Will Cloak. I didn't.
Yep. Will Cloak's been here.
Said hello to William.
Yes, I did. I said hi early. So again, guys, thanks for whoever's out there listening. I just so you guys know, the Sunday Audible show, which is 9 o'clock, right on the Audible Sunday Audible Facebook page, and we'll probably put a link on this one as well. But we have some merch coming from that one. John and I have discussed doing some merch, and we're gonna start up with some shirts. I'm gonna order a few shirts, send them out to you guys. If anybody wants a shirt, reach out to me. After that, then what's up, Patrick? Okay. I might invest in some mugs and to have some fun. I'm always a little uncomfortable selling things to people, but we may have some stuff to give away. We'll see. Of course,
I'm telling you, you want to get known. You want to give some stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to listen to me.
I'm listening.
Women's thongs.
That's where we're going with this.
Listen, you get your woman a Sunday Audible thong or a Hard Rock and Sports thong. Forget it. Everybody will go wild.
We'll have to take that under advisement. And, yes, Patrick, you are in. The Hard Rock and Sports one have been delayed. The guy who makes the shirts, he got COVID. His wife got COVID. It's like the COVID family. But, yeah, I'll get you that one, and I'm going to get you a Sunday Audible one for Patrick. He's out there every week for us. So I'm going to – Patrick's getting a couple shirts coming his way.
Patrick's more than we are.
Yeah. But, Jeff, let's talk a little bit. The Yankees – big week. They were treading water a little bit last week, and went on to beat Texas 3 in a row, which is no big deal. Then went to Boston and slaughtered Boston 3 straight. Got themselves into the first wild card spot. Won the first game in Toronto. Lost last night. Still in first place in the wild card race, but a little tougher road. They got to win tonight, and they're off to a good start with Judge hitting the ball out in the first inning. And then they got Tampa at home to close the season. But the big talk on sports radio this morning, and I want to get my dad on this real quick, is Gerrit Cole came out, the best pitcher the Yankees have, maybe their best player, $300 million ball player, Jeff. Came out last night, the Yankees immediately down, I think in the first two or three innings, 4-0. They were down 5-3, stormed back and tied it, and then lost it on a home run in the eighth inning by Bo Bichette. But, you know, again, had Gerrit Cole pitched even half to what his baseball card said, the back of his baseball card, the Yankees probably win that game and they are comfortably running. So the big thing people were complaining about, Jeff, this morning was the fact that Gerrit Cole, as the best pitcher, thank you, Len, appreciate the happy birthday, should have pitched a better game, which we all know he should have. But that now, you know, maybe he's not a big game pitcher. You know, maybe he's not as good as we think he is, blah, 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 blah. And here's what I say, and I'll get your take on it. You know, even the greats, none of the greats always pitch great. Even Mariano Rivera, I think one of the best pitchers of all time, the greatest reliever of all time, who was lights out in the playoffs, had a couple famous, you know, failings. We'll go back to 97, the home run to Sandy Alomar that knocked him out of the playoffs against the what team was that? That was not Toronto. I'm trying to think. Anyway, that was 97. 2001, gave up the hit to Martinez for the Yanks to lose the World Series. I was standing on the mound when he lost that game. 2004, knocked out by the Red Sox. So even Mariano, Jeff, the greatest pitcher, I think, one of the greatest pitchers of all time and the greatest reliever of all time, stumbled. And to me, that doesn't change his legacy. Jeff, pitcher of Gerrit Cole's abilities, who wins big games, you know, now hasn't won a lot of big games for the Yankees because there haven't been a lot of big games, but wins games, is a tough pitcher, is a great pitcher, got the big dollars. lost a big regular season game, Jeff. Does that change the thought process? Does that mean that he can't come up big more times than not?
Well, let me ask you this. How long has he been on the Yankees for?
I think this is his second season.
Second season?
Yes.
It may be a little bit soon to call him a bust. I mean, I can see if he's here 3 years, 4 years, and they haven't been in the playoffs. I mean, not for nothing, no matter who the Yankees have had on their team in the last 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
has pretty much been a bust because this is a team that can't get out of the first round of the playoffs, it seems.
Agreed.
You know, even if they had fucking Bob Gibson, it seems like they'd have problems getting out of the first round.
To me, I get it. It's a big game. You need him to pitch well, but that doesn't mean that Game 7 or the Division Series or the World Series, that the man won't come up big. I mean, again, now listen, if he gets in big spots.
He hasn't had a chance to get to that spot yet, right?
Correct, yeah. To me, people screaming, yelling this morning. I'm driving in at 5 o'clock in the morning, and people are on sports radio, and they're blasting him, and that's what you pay him for. Hey, you know, the other team gets paid too, you know? So, I mean, they're going to have their days. Listen, could the Yankees have used a better game at him? Absolutely. You know, but to me, we have this tendency, because baseball is so long, Jeff. Hey, Cher.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
She tried to sneak on, so I had to give her up.
That's okay. We have a tendency nowadays that the games in April, May, and June don't mean as much. You know, where, you know, teams, you know, who cares if you lose a game on a Wednesday night to Baltimore. You know, it doesn't work that way. Every game matters. Just this week, it's magnified because, you know, now it's, okay, you need to win X amount of games to get there. So, Jeff, to me, you know, while I agree that you wanted to come up big in that spot, to me that doesn't change who he is or the guy or the pitcher he is or whatever. And for people to be screaming and yelling, I think is completely insane.
Well, no, I hear you, but, you know, a lot of people feel as though that they're paying him good money. They should win just about every game he goes out there and pitches.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, there's a lot involved. Think about it. You know, you're asking a guy to go out and he goes on the mound, what, 30 plus times a year?
Yeah.
So you're asking him for over 30 plus times a year to go out and have a great game.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you're expecting this guy to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25 and 3, like the Guidry years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen. You know,
yeah.
Be happy if the guy, in today's day and age, if the guy gets 17 wins, he could possibly lead the league in wins. That could be considered a great season.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, it's pretty sad when you think about it. But, you know, what's better, to win a game even in September, late September, early October, or to say that you won a game at the end of October? I'd rather win at the end of October.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. This is when you want to win, and you certainly want to win in October, so... Listen, I think it's ridiculous. I think right now, if you're a Yankee fan, have fun with this. It's 4 great games. You're going to be in every one of them. Every one is going to mean something. I mean, the Yankees are, you know, they're still up in this thing. They're up, I think, a half a game, or they're tied, or they're still in the playoffs. So, but tough. They have a tough 4 games. And, you know, luckily for them, Jeff, Judge is mashing. Stanton's hitting balls. I'm not going to back off what I said. I'm not a huge Stanton fan. I didn't want the trade. I still want to get rid of him. But right now, the guy's hitting bombs every night. It seems like every night he's hitting a ball. Or he might strike out the first time. The next thing you know, he's hitting a 3-run blast like he did the other night. So it's a lot of fun if you're a baseball fan right now. I hope you guys are all enjoying it. I know Jeff's not too big watching it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Watching it at all. I got my team on. I got my eye on one New York team.
He's like a broken record. He's a broken record.
I didn't say what team.
You don't have to. You don't have
to. Don't let the cat out of the bag.
Don't let the cat out of the bag.
I got my eye on one team in New York. That's it.
Well, let's hope.
They don't wear green.
I'm sure they don't, because nobody can watch that atrocity. Well, again. So the Mets are playing out the string is right, Patrick. That's right. And listen, the Mets have, we said it a few times, the Mets have a lot of different things to talk about this year. We'll get to that after that. I'm going to get my dad on right now, and then after that we'll talk about the Mets. We'll get to Jets and Giants stuff. We'll get to the NFL. I've got a lot of music stuff, so hold on. Let me just get his little thing up here, and let's bring on my dad. calls in every week. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Mr. Florio?
How you doing? Yeah. Jeff, I agree with you. Both teams stink. The Jets seem to stink just a little more than the Giants, but Giants aren't have to hunt that far behind. It's a shame. All these years, I don't understand. I mean, we got two football teams. We got a basketball team that stinks. Okay? Last year was the first year that they really played good.
Yep.
And you got, I mean, you're in New York. New York should always be, have some kind of championship. And it just seems like it.
You're right.
I don't know if, especially football. Come on, please stop. You guys, I mean.
Well, listen, I'm not disagreeing.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying this. I don't disagree with you. Just, you know. Yeah.
With you about the pitching. You know, it's the same thing. The more money you make, the more better you're supposed to be. And I've seen some great pitchers pitch terrible in the playoffs. Some people, I mean, look at what's his name from Boston, had a hard time in the playoffs. Martinez.
Right. Martinez, yeah.
Yeah. Some guys just don't. What's his name too from Atlanta?
Maddox.
Maddox.
Greg Maddox. Yeah.
Right, and it just doesn't. Money don't win games. They still have to play.
Exactly right. It doesn't matter how much you're getting paid every week or every year. You know, when you got to go out there and throw, the other team gets paid too. Let's be honest. The other team sends out there a bunch of all-stars, and they get paid too. Even guys on the Orioles, they beat the Red Sox the other night when it was a big game. And anybody can lose to anybody on any given night in baseball. Although St. Louis Cardinals don't look like they can lose to anybody right now, but short of that. But listen, I'm not jumping off the bridge. I think this is a big game. The Yankees need to find a way to win tonight's game. Otherwise, they may go into play Tampa this weekend having to win three in a row. And that's something you don't want to do. You got to win tonight and knock the Blue Jays back a little bit. But the Mariners are still right there, and the Red Sox are on the heel. So, it's a big difference, guys, between, playing a one-game playoff in Boston or in New York or having to travel to Toronto or wherever you got to go. So the Yankees got to find a way to win this game. This is a big one tonight.
It sounds like the Yankees are in the playoffs already. If they start to lose, that's it. It's over.
Again, it's like anything else. At this point, every game's a playoff game the rest of the season. That's just the way you have to look at it. You're going to get the best. You're getting the best teams in the league between Toronto and Tampa. And, Tampa's clinched it, but they hate the Yankees. And I don't expect Tampa to go out there and put the B team in. So I think Tampa's going to come out there to play the game. They're not going to put anybody in harm's way. They're going to set their pitching up for the playoffs.
Go by anything like that. they really don't want to. Tampa don't want to play the Yankees because the Yankees have a team where if they play everything right, they're very good.
Oh sure, but listen, Tampa's not afraid of the Yankees. Dad. Tampa is not afraid.
Oh,
of the
no,
Yankees.
No, 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 not afraid. But no. When you get into these one game, two game, three, it's more. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Of course.
I mean, you look 69 Mets. Look to Colts. I mean, we can sit here and name all teams that were super supposed to be locked in, couldn't lose, and they wind up losing. Like you said before, anybody can win on any given day.
I certainly agree with that. And, again, this is going to be a lot of fun. The baseball's meaningful. You get to September. Sometimes your team's out of it or your team's so far ahead. I mean, listen, I would much prefer the Yankees to be up five games coasting into the playoffs, but excuse me, that's not the case this year. So we'll enjoy the baseball. Hopefully tonight's a good game. If you're a sports fan,
you guys enjoy what you're doing.
Thanks,
and Tommy, happy birthday again from me and Mommy.
Thanks, Pop.
We love you. And we're very proud of what you're doing.
Thank you, Dad.
And enjoy it. And Jeff, take care and say hello to your family for me.
I will, Mr. Florio.
Take care, guys.
Pops.
Have a good one.
That's my daddy. Checks in every week. Yep, you got it, Pops. That's my dad. Checks in every week. Always glad to have Pop on the air with us. Always brings a different perspective. So thanks to him. And, guys, you know, stick around. Hard Rockin' Sports. We've got plenty more to get to tonight. Jeff and Tom here hanging out. Again, Sunday mornings with the Sunday Audible, 9 a.m. on the Sunday Audible Facebook page. And you'll probably be a link on this one. Let's finish up on baseball a little bit just real quick. The Mets shut down the ground for the season, which makes total sense. I don't think it matters whether he pitches a pitch this year or not. He'll be back, and he'll be ace of the rotation. How good? Who knows? But it made no sense to get him out there. Syndergaard wanted to get back out because he's trying to get himself a contract. I think he will be back with the Mets. I think he wants to come back. How much money will he eat is going to be the question. I think Conforto comes back on a very light deal, maybe a 1-2 year deal for a lot less money than he probably would get out on the street. But I think he wants to be. I think the Mets want him back. After that, I don't know. What is Baez back? You know, what happens over there? I don't know. You know, I think a big part of the Mets is going to be Jeff, DH and no DH. You know, DH changes that team because it gives a chance for Alonso to DH and Smith to play first, or vice versa. I think it opens up a lot. I think the offseason for the Mets and the DH is good. If there's not a lot of teams out there, for the Mets, it's big. It's a big deal, Jeff.
We'll see what happens, man.
Yep.
It's a team that's kind of snake bit, I guess.
Yeah, again, listen, they were in first place for 103 days, obviously in a weak division. But, you know, the injuries, lack of performance, couldn't hit. You know, stop pitching, lots of injuries, curtailed the Mets season. Now they're not even going to be 500. I wonder where, you know, I know he's in Facebook jail, but I would love to see what the good doctor would be saying. But we'll get him on after the season's over, and he can curse and scream at the Mets. And listen, the Mets are going to be a different team next year. You know, they're going to have a new president. Maybe they'll get it right this time. They'll have a new vice president of baseball operations. They'll fix this team up. What did they do? Is how much money the guy spends, where he spends it. We'll find out a lot about the Mets and Steve Cohen in this offseason, because I think he's going to want to put a product out there. I don't know if it's going to be drastically different, or, you know, I think it would be a shame, Jeff, if you see the same team next year, because I just don't see it changing. I hope that he goes out there and spends wisely and turns his team around. I like to see the Mets playing better. It's always good when there's two good teams playing in the same sport, in the same town.
Well, you know, let's see what happens. Isn't this going to be the first off season for him as the
yes.
owner?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good, he did have the team in this off season because he signed Lindor. So, but again, it was, you know, he just bought the team at the end of last year. You know, a lot of people on the contract. There's a lot of expiring contracts. We'll see what he does now. This is a big offseason. I think he thought he had the right team in place. McNeil suffered, and Nimmo was out, and a lot of things. I mean, they have a big decision to make on Cano. So this is an interesting offseason. Do they bring back Syndergaard? See, I wouldn't bring back Syndergaard because he hasn't been healthy. He just has not been healthy for years. So what's going to change? So, we'll see what the Mets do. Baseball, the postseason kicks off very short. Lots of great other stuff. Tonight, Jeff, also, you got the Bengals and the Jags playing. Now, I know it's not a game you go, wow, I got to watch that game. You know, I know. We all know that's not a – but you do have two of the young, promising – why? Go ahead. Tell me why, because I'll tell you why. I think it's a better game than people think.
Because you got Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow.
Right.
Two of the future faces of the NFL. Within a year or two, these two guys could be the top five of NFL quarterbacks. So, you know, these are people that, at the way that their careers are, but they're just one year ahead of the other. These could be guys that are in the AFC championship game for years to come, one way or another, against each other. You know, if their careers improve, of course. So, you know, it could be a window into what happens. And, you know, there's a chance, who knows, maybe tonight the Jaguars finally win.
Yeah, again, I don't see it. I mean, they just seem dead in the water. But Trevor Lawrence has not played well at all. He's forcing passes. And again, I think know, I think there's a little bit of that.
None of the rookie quarterbacks have played well, really.
No, Mac Jones has probably been the best, and he hasn't been great. He's been okay. You know, he's been a good game manager. This week he cost him, you know, for at least one pick for a touchdown, and you know, he has not played well. But you know, but that's one game. But you're right. The rest of the class. I mean, did you see the highlight? Oh, if you want to call the highlights of Justin Fields' game last week?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I think he was 6 for 20 for 68 yards, but was plus one in total passing after the 8 or 9 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when Zach Wilson finishes with more yards than you, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So now I guess Andy Dalton is healthy now. And there's some, in fact, it's on my list. Let's do it right now. We're here. The question was asked to Matt Nagy, well, where are you going to go with this? Are you going to stay with Justin Fields and let him learn? Are you going to go back to Andy Dalton and win some games? Are you going to give, Foles a shot, Nick Foles a shot? And he just gave everybody the depth chart. And the depth chart seems to be Dalton, Fields, Foles. So my question to you, Jeff, is, what's best for Matt Nagy, who's probably got a fire on his seat right now? What's better for the franchise? Do they stay with Dalton? Is it better for them to get Justin Fields, even if he's horrendous? Is it better to put Fields on the bench and let him watch after the performance? I mean, what Jeff, the GM, the guy who seems to know, thinks he knows everything about the NFL. What do you think? You.
Oh, I'm only an expert on one team.
You're an expert.
But I can give you some insight.
Yeah. Okay.
Some czarism, if you will.
Please, fill us in with your czarisms.
Okay. One, I would probably leave Nick Foles as the third quarterback.
Okay.
Okay. Two, if Matt Nagy, who doesn't seem to have done much to help Justin Fields, and they just kind of threw him out there. Although you got to admit, Justin Fields is a rookie quarterback. He's going to go through his growing pains. So what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you write off the season and throw him out there and let him grow from now? Or do you wait and do this next year where maybe he's just as bad, if not worse? So to me, if Dalton is back, I don't know, maybe you could use Dalton or Foles as trade bait. And cut ties with one of them before the trade deadline,
mm-hmm.
Let Fields go and get out there and get some work in and see where you stand. You know, these rookie quarterbacks, I don't understand what the point is of drafting them and then holding on to them so you don't have to worry about them this year. So what was the point of drafting them?
Right.
I say let them play. Let them play whatever it is they got to do to see a way you know what you have.
Mm-hmm.
The way the NFL is, why do you want to take a chance of missing out? Let's just say that the Bears go 3-14.
Okay.
Okay. And next year they'd be like, well, we're in the top three. We have some extra draft picks. We could move into the top pick. We want a quarterback. Justin Fields is not the person we thought he is.
Right.
Okay. But the only way that you're going to get the guy that you want is to go into the top pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know the other two teams picking ahead of you or possible candidates for a new quarterback themselves. You don't
right.
know.
Sure.
So, you know, wouldn't it be better to know what you have in Justin Fields now and how he conducts himself at the NFL level?
What if it's too soon? What if it's too soon, though?
Like you said earlier,
yeah.
He's Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And Trey Lance isn't doing bad, but he's not playing much.
No. Well, he played a couple of plays in the game one. He didn't play anything in game two. I don't know top of my head what he did in game three. I'll look it up, but yo, Jeff, here's the thing. Matt Nagy, the coach, is probably coaching for his life right now. So, you know, for the franchise, I agree with you. It might be best to play Justin Fields and throw him to the wolves a little bit. But if you're Matt Nagy and you go 2-15 or 3-14, you're probably not coming back. So in his
Not be coming back in Chicago, but you could also prove if you're building and helping a quarterback along.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no problem. I don't foresee a problem for Matt Nagy for playing Justin Fields, because if Justin Fields is starting 6 for 20 for 68 yards now,
yeah,
and by the end of the season he's averaging 240 yards and he's 17 of 28 for 270 yards and a touchdown and a pick, mm-hmm. you could say, well, that's a far cry from being 6 for 20 and 68 yards.
If you saw him play, you go, you'd be lucky if that ever happened. Listen.
It's his first time around.
Bro. No, I get it. But sometimes, Jeff, it's too soon. Sometimes these guys really do need to sit on the bench for a while and learn behind these veterans, you know, and maybe, just maybe, that's what's best.
Learn behind?
Well, Andy, listen, Andy Dalton's had a decent career. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer.
Andy Dalton's had a decent career, but yeah. he's also on his third team in 3 years.
I get it, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know the game. I'm saying is he should sit behind a guy like that. Listen, I watch.
I understand that, but I mean, listen, what has Andy Dalton done in his career where you could say that, listen, this guy is the ultimate teacher for a young quarterback? Do you feel he's always had that kind of career? Would you want him on the Giants and let Daniel Jones sit and learn behind him for a year? Think about that.
I don't know. Again, I'm just saying is, you got to know your player. I watched him in the preseason. I told Frank Jeffrey, Frank, I hate the way his feet look. He's got bad mechanics. I don't like it. No, look at the way he played. No, this is Fields. And Frankie was like, no, he threw 5 touchdowns, Frankie. It's a preseason game. He's playing against guys next week. He'll be stocking shelves at Amazon. You know, I mean, what are we watching? I'm watching the guy, the way he plays the game, not the outcome. I said, and then sure enough, you saw him this week, and you would have swore he never played the game of football before. He looked completely lost. So my point is, I know Andy Dalton's not the greatest player. I'm not saying that he should watch Andy Dalton in the sense Andy Dalton's a teacher, going to be a coach someday. But Andy Dalton's a professional football player. You know, he's had some success. He's been to the playoffs a few times, not won it at all. So why?
I know, but it's just the idea. If you're going to have a rookie sit behind somebody, you know, I would rather have a rookie sit behind somebody that's accomplished something.
Well,
accomplishing something doesn't mean that he's went out and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
but maybe had a little success.
Well, Andy Dalton's had success. He's been to the playoffs 3-4 times. He's had some good seasons. He was, you know, one of those guys that people thought was an on the way up quarterback with. In that Stafford and Ryan group. I'm not saying he's great, don't get me wrong, but again, do you run the risk of hurting this kid's career? Do you do what you think and say, let's play him so we see what we got before the draft next year, which I think is way too early, and they'll never draft another quarterback. I can't imagine they draft another quarterback next year. But, or if you're Matt Nagy, you know, I don't care what you do for Justin Fields, if you go 2-14, 2-15, you're going to have a hard time getting a job next year.
Well, like I said, it depends on what happens as you're on your way to 2-15.
You know,
if your quarterback is making leaps and bounds in the right direction, then it's not so bad, you know. But if he's not doing anything, he's not growing, and, you know, you're saying that he's throwing the ball all over the place,
yeah.
but there's nobody around him, then, you know, that's not going to look very good for him.
Sure.
But, you know, you brought up a phrase about these guys playing behind one another.
Mm-hmm.
Look at San Francisco. You have Garoppolo,
yep.
and yet you keep throwing out Trey Lance
mm-hmm.
once in a while. And I hate the idea, if you're not going to play him, then why is he on the field anyway?
Yeah.
Why are you taking a chance of putting this kid in a wildcat or something stupid and watching him go down with an injury to use him as a gimmick play? I can't understand using a quarterback as a gimmick play.
I agree with you on that. I agree with that. It doesn't make any sense, and you put the guy out there. And I think also I also believe that you throw the rhythm of the starting quarterback off when you take him off the field. You know, quarterbacks like any player, like a pitcher, the more they're out there, the more they're getting a rhythm, throwing the ball, getting their footwork right, the better. When you take them off the field, even if it's for a play, and get them back out there, they're creatures of habit. I think it's a tremendous mistake, to be honest with you.
Well, let me ask you something. What about, why are you doing this to Garoppolo anyway? Garoppolo has to feel that his future with the team is not good. Okay, his replacement is there. His replacement is in the building.
Yes.
And his replacement is on the field with him on Sundays. I don't understand the point of playing this guy for a couple series, a couple plays, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just don't like it because, one, the injury factor.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen guys go down all the time with injury. Two, you're taking something away from both of them. You're giving Trey Lance
mm-hmm.
an opportunity, and then you're taking it away because it's like, well, you're not good enough yet. And then Garoppolo, while if the team still has a chance to get into the playoffs, you're telling Garoppolo, like, you're not the one to lead the team, but you're our best option right now. And even then, you still need a little help. So we're going to throw a rookie out there once in a while to make some plays with you.
Right.
You know, even though it's not, you know, it's not making that much of a difference by playing them three or four plays a game.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like that aspect of what they do with some of these rookie quarterbacks like that.
No, I agree. I don't like turning them into these players that they go out there and they run the, you know, everybody knows they're coming out there to run the football or, you know, and again, I'm not a big fan of bringing quarterbacks on the field to take another quarterback off. I find that to be stupid. I'm not a big fan of it. But again, whatever works, Trey Lance is not ready to play. Otherwise, he probably would be playing because I don't think they're enamored with Garoppolo out there. But to me, if I'm Matt Nagy, you know, after Sunday's performance, you know, one, I don't want to ruin this kid. You know, Jeff, you put this kid out there for six straight games, let's say, and he takes a beating and can't play. You know, you run the risk of killing him, ruining his career. It's happened. I'll say the same thing for the kid up in New York. You know, the kid for the Jets. I mean, you know, he looks the part of a quarterback. But when he gets out there and plays, it's not pretty. And I don't think he's got enough around him.
I don't understand the Jets. You have a rookie quarterback behind.
Yeah.
Behind him are two other semi-rookie quarterbacks who have never stepped foot on an NFL field.
Yeah, you have to question your quarterback.
An experienced backup. You've got to be kidding.
I agree with you. I don't understand that for the life. First off, you think you'd have an experienced guy out there just to help the kid a little bit. You know, you have that guy like they had before and have somebody there who can, you know, walk him through the, you know, a game. And how to break down film properly and all that good stuff. But if he gets in trouble, you're bringing in nobody. I mean, not that, listen, you know, if the Giants had to bring Mike Glennon in, I'm not running around thinking that Mike Glennon's winning me any games, but he's a competent NFL quarterback.
Well, you know, yeah, but he is exactly what he is, which is a backup.
Correct.
Which means that he plays maybe once or twice a year.
Agreed.
If he's lucky. But the Jets don't even have a Mike
Glennon. That's my point.
Mike Glennon is like fucking Y.A. Tittle for the Jets.
Correct.
What they have, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I just don't see that.
All right, so I'm going to put it to you one more time. You're Matt Nagy. You're fighting for your job. You got, let's take Foles out of the mix. Let's say he hasn't played already this year. He's not in the mix. Jeff's fighting for his job. Your team is 1-2. Went into week four. Who they got this week, Jeff? Hold on. I'll tell you who they're playing. This week the Bears have they have the Lions on the road. The Bears are at home to the Lions, who haven't played terrible. They haven't won a game, but they've been in all three games. Jeff, you're the coach. You're fighting for your job. Well, who's starting for you this week?
I think I would go with Fields this week.
You would?
Yeah, why not? Because it's not exactly, you know, the Chiefs that you're going up against, even though, you know, the Chiefs are 1-2, but
we'll
it's not exactly the better teams in the league,
mm-hmm.
the team that's more on your level, and you might as well see, you know, boost his confidence up a little bit. If he doesn't do good,
yeah,
you'll have Foles and Andy Dalton on the team. You know, I understand I just said that, you know, I really wouldn't have used Dalton to you know, try to train and help teach Fields. But, I you know, he is, you're right, he is a competent NFL starter, but I just, how much is he going to learn from him? You know, this isn't exactly somebody that was throwing for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns a year. Yeah, he got into the playoffs, but he never won a division title. He was always as a wild card, I believe.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I don't think he's ever wanted to. Yeah, so,
you know, I don't know. I just don't see him. I don't see him gaining that much by playing behind.
I think anytime you can play behind the guy, or again, even just have a competent guy behind your quarterback who can play is important. But again, I think that there is a bit to the teaching element of baseball, of football, that you watch the guy ahead of you and you see how he does it. You know, and if he's been successful, I'm not saying that somebody should be trailing Mike Glennon, but Andy Dalton's had some success. He's been a better than a competent NFL quarterback. So again, we'll see.
The Bears signed Cam Newton.
Did they sign Cam Newton? No.
No.
They got Foles. They got no. I gotta tell you, I'm watching it and I'm thinking. I've thought it a couple times. He's gonna have a hard time playing this year. I don't know. I think people are just tired of him, and I think that people watched him play last year, and he just wasn't any good. He couldn't throw the ball last year. So
very possible.
Yeah. So we'll get to more of that. But the guys got a new sponsor, or a new friend of the show, as I like to call them. Jeff and I are proud to welcome Metro Records on eBay. That's right. Our good friend Chris LaFrancesca has on eBay has a little site where you can go up there and peruse his albums, vinyls. He prefers hard rock and metal, but got a little bit of everything up there. If you're looking to buy, if you're a collector or you like to listen to the vinyl like I do, check out Metro Records on eBay. Or if you're trying to sell your stuff, you open up in the attic and you got a couple boxes and you're looking to get rid of them, reach out to Chris and let him know, and he might buy your stuff. So again, we'd like to welcome to the Hard Rock and Sports family Metro Records and Chris LaFrancesca, and we thank him for backing up and supporting our show. So welcome Chris and Metro Records. Again, guys, Hard Rock and Sports here every Thursday night. Jeff and Tom, we're here every Thursday having some fun. I want to say that I lost. I won a bet last week. I lost a bet last week. I lost my two-team parlay. I had Notre Dame on Saturday. They won big, but I lost on the Giants on Sunday, so I lost $20. But I got it back. I had a three-team parlay on Saturday with Texas and Army and Nebraska, and I hit myself for $135. So I have some spending money for the weekend. I'm eyeing up a couple of parlays. I know that our good friend, you missed our first week with our good friend Raphael. As far as he's good, he said to say hello. He looks forward to being on with us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock when he's going to join us at 10 every Sunday. And, you know, he laughed at me when I told him about I like to bet parlays. He said, that's a sucker's bet. And I know it is. I got it. I understand that it's a sucker's bet, but you get the bigger return for your gamble. So I'm a big fan of the parlay. So I got a couple this week. I realized I'm going to stick to the college game, Jeff. I was 4-for-4 in college this weekend. So I'm going to say, yeah, I know you got your notes, and I'll get to it when I feel like it. I'm not there yet. I do want to talk to you about the biggest game of the weekend, Jeff. And this is more of a Sunday show thing, but I'm going to bring it up tonight because I think it's very pertinent. And that's the Sunday night game, which I don't know. Will you be staying up a little late on Sunday night to watch Bucks and the Patriots? That's a big game.
I may watch some of it, but I got to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
I hate both teams, although I may, for the first time in my life, be rooting for one of those two
guys. I was just going to ask you, who would you – see, to me, I'm torn because I love both guys, so I'm kind of torn. I'll probably watch this game as a neutral observer. How would you be watching this game?
This is how I hope to envision the game.
This is what you want to see?
What's that?
Yes. I got a feeling I know how you want to see it, but go ahead. Let me hear it.
First down. They go out to the 25-yard line because the guy kicks the ball through the end zone.
Yep.
Okay, right off the bat, you can see it's going to be a passing play. Quarterback drops back to play the pass.
Which quarterback?
He's looking. We'll get to that.
Okay.
He's got all sorts of protection. It's taken all day. People on both sidelines are like, come on, you got to be kidding me. He goes to release the ball. He goes back with the ball. Just as he's about to start coming forward with the ball, out of nowhere, here comes a defender, probably 315 pounds, puts the meat of the shoulder pad right into the top of the kneecap. and bends his knee so far the other way that Tom Brady never stepped foot on a football field again without one leg being 3 inches shorter than the other. Belichick wins the game 2-0 on a freak safety with 3 seconds left.
Wow.
See that? What turns out to be one of the most boring games ever in NFL history.
Mm.
That's what I want to say.
See, now, I would have thought you'd have said, first play of the game, Brady breaks his leg, he's out, which I had that right. But after that, Belichick gets destroyed. The Bucs win because Brady's not there. You could care less. His career's over, and Belichick loses, and it's the best of both worlds for you.
Do you really want me to tell you what I'm hoping?
No.
I'm
sure you're going to tell me anyway.
I want to see Brady get injured and be taken off the field. But it would also be cool to watch as the game goes on, to watch Belichick's mouth start to droop. And the obvious signs were like one arm just hanging there. He can't even hold paper in it. Obvious that he's suffering a stroke as the game is going on. We're watching it happen.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping for.
And Al Michaels starts talking about it. Chris Collins, were his usual oblivious to everything that's going on around him, calling the wrong shit, saying how good and how great Belichick looks as he starts to turn gray and his bottom lip is hanging down like a jowl of a basset hound.
So this is what you think about. This would be great.
Yeah.
Folks, thank God I'm here to save the day, folks. This is why I'm here to save the day. So he's colorful, he's witty, but I'm here to save the day. So listen, I think this is going to be... I do not think this will be a great football game. I will be surprised if this is a close game. I can't see the Bucs not winning this game big. I don't think the Patriots are very good right now. Mac Jones is a game manager and prone to some mistakes, but you know, I think it'll be interesting. The interesting part of the game for me, Jeff, is the beginning. How do the fans treat Tom Brady? I think he gets a big, huge ovation before. I think it's a standing ovation before the game. I hope they show it.
Of course it will be. Of course it will be.
Now, once the game kicks off, I think the fans will boo him. They will treat him like any other player. But to me, you know, I know that it's obviously the chess match thing. Now, does Bill Belichick want to go out there and embarrass Tom Brady? Sure he does. He wants to go out there and win that game, make Brady look bad, pick him off 4 times. And, of course, Tom Brady probably wants to stick it to Bill Belichick. I think the way the fans react, and I'm curious to see, does Bill and Tom get together before or after the game, shake hands, hug? Is there anything before, maybe not before, but after the game? Do they meet up in the middle of the field and do a little hugging?
Depends on who wins, I think.
Well, they're both notorious sore losers.
Well, yes, but I could see Brady seeking out Belichick. Belichick saying, you know, it's crowded out there, and I just wanted to get with my guys. It was an emotional game, and I just wanted to I looked for Tom. I actually caught him in the hallway as he was coming out of the locker room. I waited for him, but I wanted to be back in there with my guys and tell them how proud I was and how important this game was to me. So I can see him blowing off Brady and saying something silly like that.
Well, that's possible. I think it comes down to if Tampa wins, Brady's going to be looking to go find Belichick. Belichick's probably going to be gone. If the Patriots find a way to win this game, I think Brady's running off the field and Belichick can't get to him fast enough to shake his hand and give him a hug, which won't happen. So I think, I hope they do the right thing and they get together and they shake hands and give a hug. They did 20 years together. They had some great success. You hate to see what you read in the papers and new books coming out, you know, where they dislike each other. And, you know, this is something 20 years from now that you hope that, you know, these guys, you know, realized the greatness that they were together. So I hope that
I'm pretty sure they know what they did together. They don't need to be on separate teams to remember this. Whatever actually happened between them has been pretty tight-lipped, and neither one of them has ever said anything of what is going on. So, it is what it is. In the game of football, there's always going to be some gray area. It's not it's not a game that allows you to be You know, there's so many different aspects of the game that people are going to keep an eye on.
Yeah, no.
For a lot of different reasons. And like you said, the beginning of the game, the end of the game, people are going to be watching this, and they're going to want to see and know why, what's going on with these two guys. It's big news, but I think that Belichick, I think, would run inside. I think Brady will seek him out.
Listen, I don't disagree. I don't think you can go either way. I didn't go either way with that one, Jeff, so I think you may be on the money.
What are you going to do if Brady actually seeks him out and Belichick takes a swipe at him on the field? How great would that be?
I don't think that's going to happen, but listen, at this point, you'd probably never know. I'm looking for, again, I don't expect it to be a great game. I think the Tampa's a much better team, coming off a very, very bad loss to the Rams. And I think Tampa is going to be fired up to smack around the Patriots. I mean, people hate the Patriots to begin with. And for Tom Brady's sake, they're going to want to go up there. Gronk is going to want to go up. You know, we haven't talked about Gronk going up there, but Gronk hasn't had much nice to say about Billy Belichick. So, you know, we'll see how this game plays out. But
well, let's say not many people, Belichick, Gronk is overlooked in all of this.
Absolutely.
Also overlooked in all of this, even though it was for a season, is Antonio Brown.
Yeah, there's some guys up there, sure.
There are some people, you know. Uh-huh. It is what it is. I mean, listen, and Dominic Sue and everything that he's done, didn't he have a history with Brady and Belichick?
Not sure about that.
He is on Brady's team?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They, in fact, guys who had a history, they just signed Richard Sherman, and we all know that. Richard Sherman used to antagonize Tom Brady. You if you remember the "You mad, bro?" That was Richard Sherman. So now that Tom Brady actually went out and recruited him, now I don't think Richard Sherman's going to be much of a help. The guy's a maniac, 35 years old, hasn't played, so I don't think it's going to help. But yeah, Jeff, listen, I think it all factors in, but nothing beats Belichick and Brady. And I'm going to, you know, I don't watch a lot of Sunday Night Football. That's the Giants are on, or you know, some sort of game that's interesting to me. I don't like Al Michaels, and I really don't like Chris Collinsworth.
I like Al Michaels. I don't like Chris Collinsworth.
I know, Jeff. You can keep your notes because we're gonna get to. We're gonna go do a little music first, and then we're gonna go to the Giants after that. But yeah, I think this is a fun game, but it might not be a great game. But it is a Sunday night game, so I will sit back and at the end of watching Giants and Jets and whatever else games on. Last week I watched three or four games that were on my system. I was a little burnt out for the night game, so I didn't watch any of Packers. Packers and somebody. Sunday night, I didn't watch any of that game. I watched a little bit of the Monday night game. But
the Packers, they didn't play the Raiders, right?
No, the Raiders played the Dolphins and won in overtime, last seconds of overtime. One thing I did watch last week was a lot of college football, and again, I told you about my four in a row, my four out of four wins on DraftKings. But you know, Jeff Clemson lost
more
again.
More games in a week. Uh-huh. And some teams are going to win all season.
That's
this year.
True. That's very true. Teams in green. You're right. I agree with that. Clemson, a team that's been dominating the college football world the last few years, lost their second game of the season, which doesn't sound like much. But in world of college football,
they played three or four, so yeah.
So
it's pretty big.
Yeah, the turnover's been big. Alabama's still number one, Georgia number two. But now instead of seeing, you know, Ohio State who's lost, instead of seeing Clemson who's lost, maybe instead of seeing Notre Dame, we see Oregon and Penn State. Penn State played some great football. Right outside the box, you got Cincinnati, a team that's not always known to be in the playoff hunt. They're creeping around number five. Oklahoma, which I don't know why Oklahoma's so high. They've played bad football, just one, lucky to win. Iowa, Arkansas, and then you find Ohio State, Notre Dame. So, guys, a lot of interesting college football this year. Let me give you a couple of quick games that you should be watching this weekend. I have my notes here someplace.
Oh, notes? I got notes.
Yeah, I know you got notes. Who cares about your notes?
This is a very important book.
I think I'm going to just drop my notes for college football. Damn it. Boy. All right. I don't know. I guess I dropped my notes for college football. Let's see if I can find it on my sheet here. Nope. All right. So, again, to begin, I know that the big game of the weekend is going to be Alabama and Ole Miss. That's a really big game, so make sure you check that. 3:30 Saturday on ABC. I think the night game is Penn State, Indiana. Huh?
Who's Duke playing this weekend?
I don't know who Duke's playing this weekend, Jeff. Why would I care who Duke's playing?
Well, you know.
Oh, here we go. Here he comes
as an alumni of Duke.
Oh, boy, here we go. Listen, Daniel Jones is playing great football right now. So you better stay off Daniel Jones because then you'll get an argument. He'll get an argument.
The quarterback's on 0-3 teams playing great football.
Anyway, let's shift gears a little bit, Jeff, here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. It wouldn't be called the Hard Rock and Sports Show if we didn't do some music. A couple of quick items I want to get to. Scorpions with a new album. Now, I know you don't care about the new album. It's called Rock Believer. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out. My question for you is, Jeff, what is, to you, the best Scorpions album of all time?
I'd probably have to say Love Drive.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Now, I tend to agree because my favorite song from the band is on that album with the song Love Drive. I think it's my absolute favorite.
Another piece of meat.
Yep, good tunes. But again, I also think the first album I ever got into was Blackout. So I have a hard time dismissing Blackout as my favorite album. So
that album breaks Blackout, Tom, for a lot of reasons.
What'd you say?
You have to embrace Blackout for a lot of reasons.
Why?
Well, it's a good album, right?
Yeah, great album.
And the New York Giants have been blacked out in the victory column.
Here we go. Are you done yet? Let me know when you're finished.
Just like this, right? Just black it out.
All right. So, again, good stuff. Virgin Killer, Love Drive, Animal Magnetism is a great album, Blackout, Love It First Thing. After that, I'm going to tell you, once you get to, what's the Winds of Change, it's got to go. Well, it's got to be one of the worst songs of all time.
Speaking of got to go, there's
gotta
a
go?
Lot of things that have to go, isn't there?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Are you done yet? Could you let me do some music?
I'm just seeing where the segue is.
There's no segue. We're staying here first. Next thing, Richie Faulkner. Jeff, do you know who Richie Faulkner is?
Yes, the guitar player for Judas Priest. Tom, could you tell us why he's in the hospital?
He had major emergency heart scare.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jeff, go ahead.
Heart problem.
Yes, a heart problem, Jeff.
There's a lot of teams in the NFL that have no heart.
Yes, I know, Jeff. They usually wear green. I see that. But so the tour is postponed. So we wish Richie. He actually got it. You know where he got his start, Jeff? Do you know where Richie Faulkner got discovered from?
I forgot already. But
Richie Faulkner was the guitar player in Lauren Harris's band. Do you know who Lauren Harris is?
British. The daughter of Steve Harris.
There you go. So Lauren Harris has a hard rock band, a metal band, so to speak. And Richie Faulkner was the guitar player in there. And that's where he got discovered by Judas Priest. Or got picked out. If I don't know, they probably knew of him by that back then. And it's been 10 years since he's been in the band. He's been in the band since 2011. I didn't realize it was that long that KK's been out.
What was the last thing that happened in 2011 that you can remember?
Also, Jeff, there's a big news this week.
Wait. You have to report this.
There's no reason to report what you want to report, Jeff. Also this week,
Giants was successful and relevant in 2001.
Wolfgang Van Halen, I got to tell you, and Tony Gunn, I hope you're not listening. Wolfgang Van Halen annoys me, Jeff. I don't know if he annoys you too, but he annoys me.
I never gave his album a listen.
I gave it a listen. It's not bad. He's a very talented musician. Don't get me wrong. But he's annoying. He's got this arrogance about him for some reason. Now, listen, here's a kid who was probably in his early 20s, touring the world with the mighty Van Halen, playing next to his dad, his uncle. And, it just annoys me. I did not know that Mammoth WVH, I didn't know Mammoth was the original Van Halen band name, or one of the Van Halen band names, Mammoth. And Dad gave him permission to take that name, and it's now known as Mammoth WVH for, I guess, Wolfgang Van Halen. But this week he turned around and said, hey, the only person who has the right to go out and play classic Van Halen stuff is David Lee Roth. Does that mean his uncle can't do it? Does that mean – are you, Jeff, is a band allowed to play any song they want at a concert?
Why not?
I'm just curious. Like, I mean, like, I know that if you cover a song by a band on an album that you got to get permission, pay for the rights. But in a concert, now you are getting paid. You are charging people to listen. Do you have the right to play any song you want, or do you need permission?
Are you asking me on a legal?
Yeah, I'm asking you on a legal level, Jeff. You seem to be a know-it-all, Dad.
I don't know, but what is the problem with if Pearl Jam wanted to do a Van Halen song, or, you know, the Foo Fighters wanted to cover a Black Sabbath song or a Metallica song? You know, it's almost a way of honoring
sure.
the person you're going to cover at this point in time.
Yeah, I agree. And to be honest with you, if David Lee Roth was going to go out and play a tour, and I know he's going to be doing a Vegas residency, and I got to be honest with you, I barely want to see David Lee Roth with Van Halen. Seeing Dave, you know, what do they call it? Talk singing classic Van Halen songs in a wrong key, I'm not sure I'm doing it. I don't want to knock Dave. While Dave, in his younger days, was quite the front man and maybe one of the best of all time, where would you rank him as a front man, Jeff? Where would you put him in the Steven Tyler, Freddie Mercury, obviously Mick Jagger? Give me your top five in front men.
He's not in the top five.
David Lee's not in the top five. Give me your top five.
No. Wow. Well, you'd have to say Freddie Mercury, of course.
I would agree with that.
Okay. may have to say somebody like Rob Halford.
Okay. I can see it. Okay. It's a good call. Great
Bruce
voice.
Dickinson.
Okay.
I think should be into consideration.
Absolutely.
If you're going to say front man.
Yeah. The guy who
I think takes a lot of people out of the running. Some of the people that I say they take out of the running would be Geddy Lee.
Correct. Agreed. He's not a front man. He's a singer. He may be a singer or
a bass player that sings.
Yep, I agree.
No, so
I'm
mean,
talking a guy who's a front man, who's out there sings.
I'm just reiterating that fact that I don't think that I would want to pick certain people.
I agree.
That have more than one job within the band.
Fair enough.
You know, Steven Tyler. I don't know. I used to be a big Aerosmith fan, and then I'm not an Aerosmith fan at the present time,
mm-hmm.
so I find it hard to really put him in there, but haven't seen Aerosmith live when they Guns N' Roses and Deep Purple on the same bill
as
Aerosmith. I'll tell you this much. Aerosmith at that point in time in 1988 was an incredible band.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible band. So I could see somebody putting him in at least in the top 10. I don't know about the top five. And, you know, I can't put David Lee Roth in the top five. I just can't.
So not even Dave, 1983 Dave, you know.
No, because
jumping in the air with the kicks and the whole bit.
As far back as you can go and any live recordings that I've ever heard of David Lee Roth, he sounds horrible.
Well, again, I didn't say singers. I didn't say singers.
Somebody in there just because they're running around and kicking, doing leg kicks.
Well, again, some people will say that Dave, while not the greatest singer in the whole world, is a great frontman. I am not anti-Dave. I was very anti-Dave back in the 80s when he was leaving the band. But I would tell you that, yes, you know, I've listened to the U.S. concert, the U.S. festival in 83, and he basically talked, singed, and he was probably off-key doing it there. But
like he has trouble singing.
Absolutely, 100%. So at the end of the day, what I give Dave credit, I think a lot of people consider him a great frontman. Now, he would not make my top five either. Might make my top 10. He's certainly not making my top five.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, and again, not the greatest singer, maybe not the greatest moves in the whole world, but I put Ozzy as a top five guy. He's a guy who gets the crowd into it. He's, you know, he's constantly moving. I'm sure back in his day, he probably did some crazier shit. you know, whether it's throwing water at the crowd or the bats and all the craziness that Ozzy does. So I put Ozzy in. I'd love to see Ozzy again. I've seen him twice in my lifetime, and you know, I put Ozzy in there. But it's an interesting debate. I'm not a Steven Tyler fan, and I've never seen him in concert, so I don't know what he does to rile the crowd up. I think Freddie's the best of all time, easily.
That what?
Freddie Mercury's the best of all time, my opinion.
I would have to say, just look at Live Aid.
Yeah, yes, he had the crowd in the. To me, Jeff, that might be the greatest concert performance I've ever seen, ever. I'm not sure it's the greatest concert ever because I've never seen everything ever, but for me, I've seen a few concerts. I've seen a bunch of stuff like that on TV. Nothing beats that, what he did that day.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance in the world. You keep putting it up. It just makes you push it off even further. That's all. Just pushing it out and pushing it out. Yeah. So, but again, guys, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom here. Having some fun doing our thing every Thursday night, 7 to 9:30. Never know where the show's going to go. We went from one place to another. So we'll see what happens the rest of our night here. We're going to switch back to football.
The only thing that happens with the show is I notice it steers away from the truth at times.
Yeah, there we go. Okay? We're not afraid of any truth. I'm afraid of the truth that you consider truth because it's never the truth. So, but we're going to have some fun in a minute, but. Again, make sure you also come back on Sunday mornings when Jeff, myself, and John will have to get together. And we do the Sunday Audible at 9 a.m. right here in the Sunday Audible studios and have some fun with that. So right now, let's turn our attention back to the game of professional football. And I'm going to give Jeff his time now for his little notebook. So, Jeff, you can have at it with the Giants. We're going to do Jets, Giants. And then we'll go around the league before we end the show. So, go ahead, Jeff. It's all yours.
Okay. Don't get me wrong here, all right? What we're doing is Tommy is going to rip apart the Jets. I'm going to rip apart the Giants.
Nothing to rip apart.
Huh?
There's nothing to rip apart for the Jets.
Well, there's plenty to rip apart the Jets. Okay? And if you don't want to do it, I'll gladly do it. But I got to start with the Giants.
Go ahead.
I got to start with the Giants. Mm-hmm. Because from last year, I have the text on my phone is always here charging. Where Tommy would be like, they're going to win, they're going to this, they're going to be playoff bound, they're going to that. And it's just, it's not happening for them. And there's so many different problems that I can see with the Giants. And I wanted to talk about them with Tommy tonight. So that being said, Tom, I'm thinking that, I've found five subjects, New York Giants, that if you want to have any chance for this season, need to change immediately, if not sooner.
Here we go. Okay. Go ahead.
So here I am thinking, let's start with Mr. Barkley.
Okay.
And let's be serious. The guy finishes with about 45 to 50 yards a game. He himself was on ESPN earlier today saying that he's not the runner that he hoped to be. He's not the runner that he once was. Tom. Do you move on from him before the trade deadline and try to get something for him before anybody else notices that he's not the same player that he once was? Or do you hold on and hope that he rebounds? Because I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Well, I don't think you can trade him. I don't think you'll get anything for him or not nearly enough of what you want to get from. So, no, I'm not trading Saquon Barkley. I think that
is his contract up this year?
This is his fourth year. I think this is his last year. Now I've said it last year. I'm not sure I'm necessarily going to re-sign Saquon Barkley and give him the 50-year deal. I think if he stays healthy, I think there's no chance that they won't. I think it's a bad look if they don't re-sign him. Again, he hasn't been great. He's had some flashes. I think he's been stepping out of bounds way too much, and I think that he's very reluctant. I think,
why he's stepping out of bounds.
I think it's a lot of things. I think there's a lot of he showed some great moves a couple times where he's jump cut and jumped outside for 10, 15 yards, and other times he looks very tentative. So, listen, I don't know. Maybe he'll find it. Maybe he won't. I'm not 100% sure. But would I trade him? No, because I don't think you'll get anything for him.
I got to be honest with you. I would definitely dangle him and see what we can get for him if I'm the soon-to-be ex-general manager of the New York Giants. But
go ahead. Number two.
Back to what needs to be fixed.
Number two.
Number two, Mr. Jason Garrett.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you something, Tom. The guy didn't do much in Dallas. The Giants pick him up. Okay. Now he's been there for 2 years. How much more are you going to give this guy? Are you going to give him another year with Daniel Jones? Is he making that much of a difference with Daniel Jones? When does this experiment stop? And then you got to admit that this could maybe turn the team around, turn the tide around. You get rid of Jason Garrett.
I wasn't a fan of the move when they signed him, and I've not been impressed with his play calling at all. I would have no problem if right now, and he said he wouldn't do it right now, but if Joe Judge said, hey, I'm turning it over to Freddie Kitchens or turning it over to another coach or brought somebody else in, Jason Garrett's been terrible. And the big thing for me, Jeff, is they don't throw the ball down the field. Everybody else, you turn around, they're throwing 50-yard bombs. They're completing 80-yard passes. Everything's 15, 20 yards. I understand that you're trying to compensate, but you got to open it up. And I got to be honest with you, I would not bring Jason Garrett back. And
well,
I'd have no problem with
it. In my eyes, that they're not going 50-yard bombs.
Again, I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
And it's the offensive line. If the offensive line isn't giving Daniel Jones any kind of protection, I got to admit, just so that you know that I've actually been watching it.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've watched Daniel Jones.
Yep.
I see he's definitely grown
mm-hmm.
as a quarterback.
Right.
And I wouldn't say he's a bad quarterback. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. After watching him, I got to be honest, I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's in bad hands.
Okay.
And I think that he has bad protection, which is quite obvious.
No,
right?
they just signed
a Tennessee Titans castoff, first-round castoff, that was kind of giving them hard times. So now they take him, which what makes you think that he's going to do the right thing for you?
You don't know. It's a low risk, high reward. The guy was a number one pick last year. Yes, off the field troubles, on the field disappointments. So, but it's a guy who's actually played opposite of Andrew Thomas in college. He played right tackle to Andrew Thomas's left tackle. So they're hoping that Andrew Thomas rubs off on him and the guy can produce. But the offensive line has not been bad. They've pass protected very well. They have not run blocked very well, but they've pass protected very well.
What you're doing is now making your team a one-dimensional team. You have a runner like Barkley. You need to have him. Now, I understand he's coming off of the injury and everything, but you need to know that this guy is capable of moving the ball for you. Other than, come on, in all seriousness, if I can run up to the line of scrimmage, if I make it up to the line of scrimmage and just simply fall forward, I'm getting a higher yardage average than Barkley is getting in some situations.
Again, no disagreement. I think Barkley's very tentative. I think he's a little gun-shy of planting the foot and taking off like he used to. Hopefully that comes around, but they have not given him clean, clear holes, but they've done a damn good job pass protecting for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has played exceptionally well. He's played well enough to win at least two of those games, and it fell apart. Listen, I'm tired of saying I've seen good things that just hasn't appeared on the field. But after a while, you got to go, guys, go win a game.
Speaking of winning a game and seeing good things happen on the field,
yep.
your wide receiver class
mm-hmm.
for this year, this offseason, the rookie and Kenny Galladay,
yep.
Kadarius Thomas, neither one of them very effective, and Galladay reaming people out on the sideline. In what, week two? You know, you got 16 weeks left in the season, 15 games to go at that point in time.
Yep.
You're on the team for a cup of coffee already, and you're chewing out the offensive coordinator. I mean, not the best look for any team.
Nope.
Much less now people are thinking that you're chewing out Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones taking some of the heat,
yep.
deflect it. I mean, you're putting everybody in a bad light.
Yep.
Everybody in a bad light by doing something like that.
Agreed. I agree.
What do you do to appease the wide receivers in the wide receiver room? I mean, Kadarius Toney, what is he? I just found out 2 weeks ago that this is another fucking guy with a rapper name,
yep,
that he's a rapper. Awesome. That's just what you fucking need.
Yep.
Where you want to, and you thought Odell Beckham was a fucking distraction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This guy couldn't even find the fucking right size cleats the way he was running in practice with fucking barefoot.
Yeah.
And now you find out that he's fucking putting out albums as a rapper.
Little Joker. Yep.
Are you, in all seriousness, are you a little worried about the present state? And Shepard and Slayton each got hurt.
Correct.
This week.
Hamstrings. Yep.
Are you a little worried about the state of the Giants wide receivers?
Sure. You have to be. I mean, Galladay's played okay. I mean, I think it's a little bit of system that's got him locked down. I think they need to give him let him do what he does best, which is stretch the field, go up there, make plays. Tony, couple of plays he's made, you went, wow, he can. You see, he's got something. It just hasn't materialized yet. You know, they have whether he's just not getting on the field enough or not making an impression when he's on the field. Listen, when you got Shepard and Slayton and Galladay, it's a good set. It's a good set of receivers with Tony behind that. I like this kid Collins they brought in last week, and C.J. Boards played well. So again, it's not a terrible room. They just have not produced, and I'll blame a little bit of Daniel Jones and a lot of Jason Garrett. And how do you appease him, Jeff? Throw the ball, and Daniel Jones got to make plays, spread the ball around, and score touchdowns, and everybody will be happy. Win games, people become happy.
There was one play,
yep,
of Daniel Jones that I noticed in particular where he was about to get decapitated, and he kind of slid kind of awkwardly.
Yep.
Which, you know, as if it was my quarterback, I'd be like, whoa, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
If you want to do this, know how to protect yourself before you take off.
Mm-hmm.
Not learn on the fly. You know, it's not good. And Daniel Jones looked like he had to learn on the fly. And if he didn't go down like another half a second sooner, there's a good chance that, you know, the Giants would be starting another quarterback for the next 5 years because this guy's head would have been taken off. Do you feel as though that he's learned the game of football enough to be successful in the NFL? Like, when are you going to slide? When are you going to run? You know, it seems as though his fumbling has calmed down a little bit, but he still has a couple of those for the year. But I'd be more worried about his fundamentals. Like, you got to, as a quarterback, you need to know how to slide and not do it awkwardly so that you get hurt falling. No,
listen, I agree. And I think he learned his lesson week two. He had the big fumble on the drive. They were driving down to right before the half, and he caught the fumble and he got a little bit of an earful from his coach. And since then, the last two games, since that play, he's done a lot of sliding. And I know the play you're talking about. And, yeah, I think he gets caught sometimes in the middle of, you know, he's actually a very good runner. And he's third in the league for runners. I think he's done for quarterbacks. I think he's done a nice job with his feet. He's actually had a couple of big explosive plays. So I think he gets caught in between, I can run and I have to slide. And I think you're right. That's something that's got to become more normal to him to get down when he gets in the situation. So
He has to. That's
exactly.
He has to react.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. I think that's been the big thing for him, is getting to that point. It's just starting to get there. But I'll tell you, you know, Jeff, not for nothing, he made a play. I don't know if you saw it Sunday. It was on the two-point conversion where he absolutely positively ran over the defensive tackle to score the two-point conversion. He had to lower his shoulder, hit the defensive lineman, and knock the defensive lineman backwards and scored the two-point conversion. And wasn't enough of it made. Now, it's one of those plays where you don't want your quarterback to make it, but in that situation, he's got to make it, and he did a nice job with it. But to your point, yeah, it's the little things like throwing the ball away when it's nothing there that has to become, just like you said, repetition. You know, there's got to be a point where he knows the slide and becomes repetition to live for another day. So you're right. There's that little things that I think he still needs to work on right now.
And the last observation that I made, and it's, this is a two-parter.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, no, when I say it, you'll understand, because this makes me question a lot of things even more so. The re-signing of Leonard Williams to the big contract that they signed him to,
Yeah.
Okay. You got Leonard Williams. He just got his first sack. I think he's got one and a half, if that, or one sack for the year.
Something like that, yes. The under two.
You just signed this guy to a big deal because of what he did last year. And it's almost like he played his heart out because it was a contract year. And now he's definitely not delivering up until this point. He's
far sacks go, but he's still playing well. He's playing well. There's no sacks so far.
Come on, you didn't sign this guy to fucking stuff the run, bro. You signed him for sacks like he had last year.
No, but Jeff, you know, being a two-way player is important. I mean, listen, no knocking the guy because I know he's been sick and all that, and he's probably your idol. But Mark Gastineau was a guy who got a lot of sacks, and he was a terrible football player. You could run the ball up inside him all day long, but he got you 15 sacks a year.
Yes, but when Mark Gastineau was playing, he was part of the New York Sack Exchange.
Correct.
Where you had three other guys to compensate. Meanwhile, on the New York Giants, you just had, what was that, Blake Martinez, their linebacker, down?
Yep, for the season.
This is your chance to step up between him and Jabril Peppers, who exactly wasn't too happy with his present role. One of these guys needs to step up and becomes the face of this defense. And to me, it definitely ain't going to be Jabril Peppers because he's complaining about his role, so he's not playing enough. And Leonard Williams certainly doesn't look like he's going to take the mantle on this one. So it's, you know, something has to give. This guy needs to get some sacks. It'll take some pressure off the defensive backs over there. You know the deal. We talk about this all the time. But, I mean, was it a waste to sign Leonard Williams? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I was up in the air about it. You know, again, I like the way he plays the game because I think he plays both ends. He plays the run, plays the, and he can also rush the passer. It was a lot of money to give a guy, and I was very, very, very leery of signing him. He had a great year. I mean, last year, 11 and a half sacks, plays the run well. He needs some help on the outside. You know, I think right now the young kid from Georgia, Aziz Anjulari, he's had three sacks in three games. He's starting to give a little presence here. But, I think Leonard Williams will come around. I think the defense is starting to play a little better. So I think it's a waste, yes. Ultimately, I'll tell you that I think the back end of the contract is going to be a complete waste of time. For this year, I think Leonard Williams will be fine. He'll probably be an all-pro. He plays the run really well. He gets a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and I think it'll be fine. Did I like the deal? No, I liked it. I didn't love it. Let's put it that way.
Well, he certainly isn't putting results on paper, but
that's
about all I've seen with the Giants. But I want to see what you've seen with the Jets, because the little bit that I've seen of the Jets I don't even know where to start with this team. I mean, is it the offensive line? Is it the coaching? Is it the quarterback? What is it? Where do you start? Is this team just fucked? I don't know.
I'll tell you where you start. And I'm sorry. I know you disagree with me on this one, but start the GM. And I'll tell you why. Simple. Plain and simple. I know it's his second full season, but he's been around for three. The offensive line is no better than it's ever been. The weapons that he gave this kid, I like Davis. He's got a lot of drops so far this year. A little bit non-existent. You know, he's not made friends out there with Marcus May, who now is out hurt three or four games. I think that what they did was they drafted a kid that was a little bit of a reach. And you can see that he's been a little bit of a reach the way he's playing right now. He gave him a bad offensive line, questionable receivers, and no tight end. And again, put out a defense that does nothing. So to me, this starts at the top, Jeff. I think that at some point, Joe Douglas's feet, again, he's not going to get fired this year. I know that. But his feet got to get held to the fire because he has put together a very bad team. Now, I'm not telling you that I expect them to win a Super Bowl or make the playoffs or win seven games, but they don't even look like a functioning team at this point. And I'm questioning.
I agree. This is a team that's not showing that it knows how to play.
Yes.
There's a difference between knowing how to play and knowing how to win. Every single game that I've watched so far this year,
yeah.
Okay, I've seen a couple on reruns.
Yeah.
some of the games that I have watched, there's a lot of long-distance passing going on this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm talking long passes, 30, 40, 50-yard passes. Mm-hmm. And it happens, it seems, a lot more often. Sam Bradford is, like, forget it. The guy's been playing, like, lights out. A couple other guys, they just, you watch them play, they just, they play so great. What's his face? Aaron Rodgers. I've seen him make a few passes in a couple of the Packer games.
Yep.
I've seen. Guy's just unbelievable, even at his age.
Yep.
And the Jets, you got this kid. He doesn't look that big out there anyway. Okay? Nope. If I was the Jets coach, I'd tell him, take that fucking headband off now. Okay, that's the one thing. Go get a motherfucking haircut so you can see the field and you see the ball. You can have your hair long in fucking January when we lose and we're done. I'll allow you to start growing it in December.
Mm-hmm.
Take that shit the fuck off. You're not Patrick Mahomes. Knock it the fuck off. Okay? That's one thing.
Yep.
That's what I would tell him. All right? Second of all, this team, if Salah is going to be the coach, did he not tell Douglas that he have no input on what he needs, who he wants? You know, every year with Douglas, it's like, well, we didn't go after the big names because, you know, we wanted to save a little money. We're going after mid-level guys. We're going to get some cheap contracts. They're going to come off quick. So in other words, it's like, I need a car, but I'm not going to spend $5,000 on a car. I'm going to buy a car for $500. When it dies, I coast off to the side of the road, take the plates off, buy another $500 car, and get the most that I can out of it. And this is what he seems to be doing. Although this year he did pick a few, you know, high-end free agents, but there were better free agents, I think.
I agree.
Richard Sherman was attached to the Jets since the beginning of free agency. They didn't even bring him in, if I remember correct. They didn't even talk to him.
Nope.
What did you have to lose? You got fucking rookies and unseasoned people in the defensive backfield. What the fuck you think was going to happen?
I agree.
Lawson is hurt. What kind of pass rush could there be? I think Quentin Williams, I think, has 3 sacks this year.
Quentin Williams is actually playing pretty well. He's actually played fairly well this year. Not great, but fairly well.
But all you got to do is block him.
Well, again, they haven't done it so far. So I give the guy credit. I think Quentin Williams is a good player, but he was a no-brainer. You know, to me, a great GM is a guy who finds a guy in the third round, fourth round, fifth round, who is going to, you know, be a mainstay of your team for 3 or 4 years, who might get a second contract. You know, landing a top five guy in the first round is a no-brainer. He's an Alabama guy who had great success in college. You know, this is not, you know, when you miss in that spot, you're a jerk off. When you hit on it, you're supposed to. So I think Quentin Williams is going to be fine. The problem I have is, you know, this isn't Joe Douglas' first year. This isn't his second year. This is his third year part of the team. Again, you want to give him the pass because he didn't get a chance to draft or bring the free agents in. I got you. But he still ran that team. And you're 3 teams in now, and you still don't have any semblance of an offensive line.
No,
I mean,
you don't. And
we're questioning Becton right now. I guarantee if I ask you right now, are you sold that Mekhi Becton is your long-term 10-year left tackle? Can you give me a definitive? Definitive?
Go back a little bit more than a year, and you'll hear me say that I didn't like the pick because he was just too big of a human being.
Yeah.
The guy's hovering around right under the 400-pound mark in the 370s. All right, that's what his way in from college was, 370s.
Right.
Which means that here comes a 20-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid that's not even full-grown yet.
Yep.
And you expect him to stay at 370? You don't see this guy putting on another 20 pounds and hovering right outside of 400 pounds?
Yeah.
And what happens? Well, now he's got fucking bad ankles or bad knees or whatever it is. But he's got bad legs.
Yep.
He's in his second year.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if the kid is the size of a road grader. If he can't get on the field, it does not matter.
I agree with you. And again, I got to go back and put Joe. Now, I don't know if Robert Salah is a great coach. He's not been in any game. But again, here's the problem. You know, I heard the offensive coordinator today say that the biggest problem they've had is getting the team to understand the calls and communication, which to me, this is the third week of the season. You've been practicing together since, you know, January or February, whenever he got hired, you've been working with these guys, and you're telling me that the guys still don't understand the plays that are being called? To me, that's an indictment of the coaching staff. Now, again, I don't know if his game coaching is any good because he's been out of every game. So I have no idea if Robert Salah is the Jets head coach of the future. I don't like what I've seen so far from the kid. He shows some flashes, but he's, you know, his big thing has always been he's a very accurate quarterback. He is very inaccurate right now. And, you know, but I think, he's going to be back next year. Salah's going to be back next year. I think the guy who's in trouble right now is Joe Douglas. Do you have any reason to believe that he's going to put together an offensive line next year that's going to be competitive in the NFL? There you go.
Depends on how the kid from this year's draft turns out. I haven't heard many people talking about him.
He had a rough first game or two. I think he played okay. When I got to watch, I have to be honest with you, I tried to watch the Jet game because I like to watch both the Jets and the Giants every week. Giants I do because I love them. The Jets I tried to because I want to be on the show and I want to be able to talk intelligently about it. So I try to watch the Jet game. This Sunday's game, Jeff, it was unwatchable. I mean, it was boring. It was everything you don't want a football game to be.
What did he get sacked? 15 times?
I don't know, but it was just
four interceptions.
Yeah, that was the other week
in a game.
Yeah,
you know, you're not everything they tell you to do. Yeah. You can't turn around, drop back, and go like this, and just keep there like this, and then throw the ball that way when there's nobody there. How about even if you want to throw the ball to him and you know that you're going to throw the ball to him, at least pretend, you know, look around and then throw back at him.
Yeah.
You don't pick your eyes off the target.
Yeah, he's got happy feet. He's got a tendency to put the ball down and take off a little too quick. Again, he's not accurate, but again, I don't know if he's just a bad player yet. Will he get better? I have no idea. Just, the problem I have is I don't think he's got great weapons, and his offensive line is horrendous. So, again, the kid's going to get a pass. He'll be back next year. I do think that they'll bring in a veteran guy next year because I don't think they'll want to have all their eggs in the basket if he's bad again. But I got to be honest with you. I think if you're asking me right now, if the Jets go out there and they play this way the whole rest of the season, I got a hard time believing Joe Douglas is back next year to pick this team again.
I think he'll be back. But
what's the true definition of insanity?
I think he'll be a two-for-one deal that the coach and Joe Douglas would go.
Jeff, there I agree with you. I think Joe Douglas should come back, and they both get the second another year together, and if it doesn't get better, then I think you're bringing in a guy to bring in somebody else. And again, I can't tell you, I look at coaches in a couple of ways. Obviously wins and losses is huge, but I want to watch them manage a game. Can a guy in the middle of a crazy game, and I'm going to tell you, I think Joe Judge has not done a great job this year in that sense. But I like to watch a guy go out there and manage a game. How does he react to the 2 minutes? You know, how does he call his timeouts? All that kind of stuff. Right now, who knows? They've lost 23-6 and 25-0. There's no, you're not coaching in that game. You're just existing in that game. So we'll see. Again, it's been an ugly time for the two teams. And the Giants, you see flashes of good, and then they do something that, you know, whether it's going offsides on a missed field goal, letting the team walk down the field and score. This week, Adoree Jackson got an interception in the end zone that could have iced the game with 4 minutes and change left. He drops the ball. And they wound up scoring a touchdown, and they go down later on, and they walk down the field and kick a field goal with no time on the clock. So, you know, the Giants, I see good, but yeah, I think obviously I don't think Mara's very happy, and if they don't win some games soon, you're probably going to see a change at the Giant top. But the Jets are, I think you're right, Jeff. I think one more year Douglas would get with Salah. And if you're going to get rid of him, I think you make the wholesale change and start all over again. That's my opinion.
You got no choice.
Yeah, how do you bring another GM and you have a coach in the second year who hasn't performed either, and you have no idea whether it's any good?
And then what does that say for the quarterback?
again, same thing. The bad part of him is he's got to show something along the way. He's got to show some sort of improvement, even if it's, you know, he has a couple of good games, a couple of bad games, a couple of mixed games. Right now, it's all bad. You got to hope and pray that it's not all bad all year, that at some point, you know, the game slows down a little bit for a kid and he throws the ball well. So far, you know, it looks like the game is just too fast for him at this point.
Well, something is too fast for him. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, but
certainly not happy as a fan to see some of this, what's going on. It's disheartening.
Yeah.
It's disheartening because
I
remember when they drafted Donald,
mm-hmm.
and it was like 2020, they're contending for the Super Bowl.
Right.
And here we are past that. And you know, combined, these teams are 0-6. And they really, between the two of them, they're just bad teams. And neither one of them is ready to take a step in the right direction, I feel.
I'll tell you this. I think the Giants aren't far off, but I can't keep saying they have to learn to win. I can't keep saying it because you have to win. I mean, there's no other way around it. You just have to win these games. I'll tell you that the Bronco game, they should have won it. They could have won it, but I'll put that aside. With the Washington game and this past Sunday's game against Atlanta, the Giants should have won both those games easily. And that's a problem, and that's a reflection of the coach. And, you know, I hear people this week all over the radio calling for his head. They want him to be fired too.
Who?
Joe Judge. It's been all over the radio.
I saw something. I was going to send you this one, but I didn't. I didn't want to totally rain on your 54th year and one day anniversary. But they said that there's a chance.
Uh-huh.
Who the fuck was the writer for the Post? Gary Myers, I think it is.
No, Gary Myers used to write for the Daily News. He's gone for he retired. But there you go.
What's that?
What was the articles? I read the Post every day.
About the Giants.
Which one? Did they write three or four
Giants
day?
Basically saying that, are they going to win a game before Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes. I saw that article today. That might have been, I see the guy, Paul Vaccaro.
Who?
Paul Schwartz. Yes, it was either Vaccaro or I think it might have been Schwartz. I think it was Schwartz.
Vaccaro.
Okay, go ahead.
And saying that, going through the games and saying there's a chance. This is a team that might not win anything between now and Thanksgiving.
I saw the article. I saw it, and he made a good case.
You know, there's a very good chance that they're not going to win anything before Thanksgiving.
There was a very good. He made a very good case for some of the games. I disagree with a couple of them, but listen, it's hard to argue what he was saying. Listen, I can make you a case for any game the Giants winning, but the way they're playing, I can easily listen to somebody else or even myself make a case that they just can't win because they just, I don't know if it's, you know, it's one of those things where teams have to learn how to win. And I thought they did it last year in the second half. They went 5-3. They played much better football. I thought this team was ready to make a jump. And again, you can't have 8 penalties in a game. I mean, you know, Daniel Jones in week 2 runs for 60-yard touchdown. It gets called back 20 yards because of a holding penalty that didn't happen. But, you know, you can't have bad penalties and plays like that.
Penalties this year in the NFL itself seem to be out of control.
It is crazy. You're right.
It really is.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I read somewhere that they were just trying to I was on Facebook. Somebody said it. They're trying to acclimate the players to the game.
They do it every year. Usually in the beginning of the year, they pick one or two different things like – right now, to me, it's illegal man downfield. There's a ton of illegal man downfield penalties.
Yeah, I hear you. But you know what? Get the players acclimated to it. Or you can't turn around and say, well, guys, listen, this year we're going to be big on illegal play.
No, they do. That's what they're doing, though.
I understand that, but you can't. It either happens or it does not happen.
I agree with you. The problem is, you
shoot up to 27% this year. Meanwhile, last year was 12%. Or whatever, and I'm just using that as a number for the story.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exact number of the penalties are, but, you know, if through week 3, if they called 6 of them league-wide, and now by this time they're up to like 18 or 19, because which game was it that I can't remember who it was. Was it the Raider game?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was, but there was penalties. Like, every other fucking play was a penalty.
No,
I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's been a lot of penalties this year. So, you know, again, I know that what they like to do out there is they like to pick on certain things, whether it's pass interference or, they'll tell the refs, call everything. And then at some point they go, okay, lighten it up a little bit, which to me makes no sense. Either you're calling penalties or you're not calling penalties. I don't understand it. But, yeah, there's been a few illegal man downfield penalties, more this year than I've ever seen. So, again, I know they do it. They do it every year. They tell the players, hey, we're going to be extra looking for this and that, which makes no sense to me. You should call a penalty when you see a penalty or let it go when you want to let it go. But to go out there and – but you're right. The first 3 weeks of the season, you'll probably see it for another couple of weeks. You're going to see a ton of penalties. And to me, it gets in the way of the game.
Well, listen, how about this? How about when they call example, they call a defensive a pass interference.
Right.
Okay, on the left side of the field. Meanwhile, the quarterback never looked to the left side of the field.
Right.
He was looking to the right side of the field all the way down.
Yep.
Threw the ball and was incomplete on the right-hand side of the field. But yet the penalty flag, 6 yards off the line of scrimmage on the left-hand side of the field is where the foul was.
Right.
But meanwhile, he never once even looked over there, leading you to believe that player was either in the wrong position, he ran the route, or he knew he was going to the right-hand side of the field with the ball regardless.
Correct.
And it's just sometimes you see this happen, and it's like, why are you calling this play? It had no bearing on the
correct. Play. And I think I think that's the key for a referee, Jeff. To find the, I think if you want to on every single play ever run in the NFL, you could find some sort of a penalty. I think the question is, when does the penalty impact the play? That's to me the hardest part, maybe for a referee. And I wish Patrick was still on the line. Maybe he bailed out on us tonight, but. I think as a referee, when do you say, I see a hold over there, but it's meaningless? Or I see a guy illegally downfield, but it's meaningless. I'm putting the flag in my pocket. That's, to me, that's the curious.
Some of these holding plan-up penalties
happen
so quick.
Yep.
They get caught, the flag comes out, and they get nailed for it almost instantly. And meanwhile, when they show it in slow motion, even in slow motion, it's like, how the fuck did this guy even see that?
Yeah.
How did you see that? This is a perfect camera angle with this. How did you see this when, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
This, you saw that going at full speed and called it while it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, again,
you have the flag in your hand just waiting to fucking toss it.
Yeah, I think your point, your starting point was the right one. There is a lot of penalties out there, and they all seem to hone in on certain things. And they're overly, I think the right phrase might be overly aggressive in calling those penalties. And I think it slows the game down. It impacts the game. And again, go out there, play good football the best you can. And we take it what we get. But, again, back to the New York teams, I think both general managers are on the hot seat. The likelihood, if they both ended out badly, is Gettleman would be gone, and Joe Douglas will probably get another shot at it, but we'll see. It should be interesting. I'm watching. I got the Jaguars up there. Jaguars are winning 7-0 toward the end of the first quarter against the Bengals. I got the Bengals in my survivor pool, so I need the Bengals to pull this game out. I can't see them losing at home, so let's hope that they pull this one out for me. But we got a few more minutes. We're going to run through some of the games. I know Jeff's a little tired, so I just want to hit a couple of the big topics before we call it a night. Jeff, Big Ben and the Steelers. That was a big topic off air between you, John, you and John, more than me. But I don't know if you saw any of the highlights or saw Big Ben play. But Big Ben looks like Peyton Manning in that last year, having a hard time moving, having a hard time throwing the football. You know, again, one of those situations where they probably hung on to him one year too many.
They're finding out about it now.
And, there was, the question, they haven't drafted anybody, the future, what do you do for the future of that team? Give me your thoughts on Big Ben and the Steelers being 1-2 and just not looking like a functional offensive team.
Well, what were they, 11-0 last year when they started to lose games?
Yes, something like that, yeah.
They finished 11-5?
Something like that, yeah.
So what is this team? This team is basically – 12 and 7
in the last year and a half.
12 and 7 in the last year and a half. You know, that's pretty big. That says a lot right there. And when you're using a 40-year-old quarterback, maybe Eli and Philip Rivers was smart and knew when it was time to go. But, you know, if Roethlisberger is not going to go, it's going to be up to the Steelers to give him a nudge in the right direction and be like, you know, listen, we let you come back 1 year.
Yeah.
Because it's you. But we can't have a second year. And, you know, I mean, come on. Cam Newton can't find anybody to play with. Why do you think that you're going to just fucking blend it, go to your house and call the game, you know, do a show like that and let him sit over there, you know what I mean? Because he certainly shouldn't be on the field anymore. That's how
I agree with you. I think they didn't have a choice. They didn't draft anybody. They didn't spend any money on a free agent. And I think that, they're caught short. And right now the defense is not playing well. But their offense all year has not been good. The other part is they haven't run the ball well. So, you know, they have Najee Harris, who I love coming out of Alabama. They have not used him really well, or he's not played really well. And Big Ben looks cool. He looked like Peyton in that last year. So I think they're in a little bit of trouble. I think that division is, let's see real quick, the division right now, Baltimore's 2-1, Cincy's 2-1. Cleveland's 2-1, and Pittsburgh, who I thought would win the division, Jeff, is 1-2. It's early, but they do not look good this year.
Yeah, I didn't have much faith in them. I just felt as though it was time. And listen, when you're dealing with a near 40-year-old quarterback, this is what happens. That's why Brady, he could say whatever he wants about playing to 50 years old. He could go out in the second half of the game this Saturday or Sunday up in New England and go and throw the ball, and he hits off the back of the center's head. And just be like, that's it, man. I can't do this no more. And that's that.
Yep.
It's how quick it happens.
No, you're 100% right. So, it might have happened last year and nobody recognized it. That might be the deal. So let's run through the league a little bit real quick, Jeff. Saints beat the Patriots, surprising. Your boy Jameis Winston, 13 of 21 for 128 yards. You know, Jeff, he's winning games and he's throwing touchdowns, but he's not getting more than 150 yards a game. He's
going to say he hasn't cracked 150 yards a game yet.
Yeah.
That has to be concerning on some levels.
To a certain extent, or do you think that's how they're managing him? They're not giving him the opportunity to implode, not explode, but implode. Do you think that's game management, or do you think that's just him quarterbacking?
You let the guy throw for 5 touchdown passes on opening day.
Uh-huh.
You know, that wasn't by accident. It wasn't by design, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is what it is. 5 touchdown passes is 5 touchdown passes, and he threw them.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
In Foxborough, the guy, you know, listen, I picked against them. I thought they had no chance to win that game. It was one of my best bets of the week, and they did not succeed, but Saints took it. Patriots now 1-2 in the division. If it wasn't for the 0-3 Jets, the Patriots might be scraping bottom right now. So, interesting game. Next game, Jeff, we'll talk about Rams and the Bucks. I don't know if you watched it. Wasn't a great football game. Buccaneers were outmatched. And I'll give Matthew Stafford credit in the world. The guy played a great, great football game. And the Rams slammed it, ran it right down their throats.
Well, yeah, I saw some of the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch enough to really get enough from the game.
Right.
Is Matthew Stafford real? Is he everything you thought he was going to be? Because a lot of people are saying a lot of good things about him.
He played really well. I'm not telling you that, you know, he's going to win a Super Bowl or –